At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, back at it, Chuckery Show, halfway home on this Thursday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. It's our new and improved Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm at JMCH316. He's at D.D. Lewis for real. Braves with a nice play at home plate. Good job by Darnot to protect the plate and a good throw and relay. And they throw a runner out, but it's still 8-5. Braves are down right now. Mercifully, Spencer Strider was pulled. 4 innings, 8 hits, 8 runs, all of them earned. 2 strikeouts, 8 Ks. 2 homers, 87 pitches on the night, and Verlander was out after 3 innings. So, that was not a very good pitching performance by either of these guys. Speaking of pitching performances, any concerns about Charlie Morton? You know, in his first 8 starts this year, and it's 404-726-0929 if you want to jump on and respond to what I'm about to say here. So Charlie Morton in his first 8 starts this year was, you know, really off to a good start. I mean, he was pitching pretty well. He was 5-3 after 8 starts. His ERA was 2.85, and he had only given up 4 homers in 47 2/3 innings. 47 2/3 innings in 8 starts, only 4 homers. And we remember last year that he set a career high in homers allowed, right? I think it was 27 or something like that. You know, he's given up too many long, at times given up too many hits, walking too many guys, and not being as effective as he's been in years past, right? So fast forward, and it's looking good, right? First 8 starts, 5-3, 2.85 ERA, got the strikeouts, hasn't given up many homers, and this, that, and the other. Then in his last 4 starts, starting on May 22nd, his last 4 starts, he's 1-3, 22 innings pitched, 28 strikeouts, 12 walks, 24 hits given up, a 6.14 ERA, and the same 4 homers that he gave up in 8 starts and 47 2/3 innings. He's given up in his last 22. Any concerns about Charlie Morton? Because, look, this is the reality. They've got to be able to rely on the 3 main guys that they have as starters. You're not going to get Max Fried, and you're not going to get Kyle Wright back anytime soon. You'll get him back eventually, but they ain't walking through that park anytime soon. And you have to be able to count on Strider, Elder, and Morton, because it's all the rookies after that, right? A.J. Smith, Shaver, Dylan Dodd, Jared Schuster, bullpen games. You know, we have to have that to fill in those other two spots, since we're really not at a point where teams are making trades. And Michael Soroka is obviously not in play, sent back down to the minors. Still needs more time to get himself ready and right. Obviously, Ian Anderson's a guy that's out for the year. He's done for the season. So we don't have a lot of great options. And I'm not saying that the Braves don't have some good players and pitchers and things like that, but when it comes to those three guys, they have to be consistent. At least be consistent in what you do. And Morton has kind of taken a turn here for the worse over his last four starts. And, you know, while he was doing some really good things at the beginning of the year, keeping the ball in the ballpark, striking out plenty of guys, wasn't giving up very many runs, pitching a pretty decent amount of innings, almost 48 innings, so almost averaging six innings a start. Now that's down to 22 innings in four starts, 1-3, and he didn't get the decision last night. He's 0-3 in the four games, 0-3 in his last four starts, 0-3. He didn't get the decision last night, obviously. He only pitched 4 2/3 innings. And if you look, you know, he's given up 6 earned runs, 2 earned runs, 3 earned runs, 4 earned runs in his last four starts. 6.13 ERA in his last four. The league went from hitting .257 against Morton in his first 8 starts to the league is hitting .279 in these last four starts with a .370 on base and an .893 OPS against him. So while we're watching Strider struggle tonight, and look, this is a perfect opportunity for the Braves to expand their lead, to really put some distance between themselves and New York and Philly. I ain't worried about the Marlins, okay? You can worry about the Marlins. You can hype them up all you want, and you can be all concerned about them. I ain't concerned about the Marlins. Marlins ain't catching the Atlanta Braves. I do have concerns that Philadelphia and New York could end up getting hot, and the Braves could certainly put some distance and pad their resume with this month's worth of games against some of these scab teams and the fact they play the Mets and Philadelphia head-to-head, and they could sweep the Mets tonight potentially. But they've got to get their starting pitching. And we talked about this with John Heyman last night, right? I mean, I flat-out asked him, hey, can the Braves do it with three starters? Can they build and maintain this lead? But with the way Philadelphia's playing, with the way the Mets are playing, now they can't seem to gain any ground. This should be a perfect opportunity for the Mets and Phillies to be able to gain ground on the Braves. Take advantage of some of these injuries. Take advantage of the fact that they don't have a deep rotation right now. That ball's going to be out of here. It's out of here. Marcelo Zuna homers. So 8-6 now. No, sorry, 9-6. I told you, this game has been ridiculously crazy. But they need Morton, you know, and we talked to Grant McCulley a few weeks ago about this, that you know, he thought Morton was doing a lot of good things. And he was. I mean, for the first 8 starts, it's just that this last bit of starts from the 22nd of May through yesterday has been a bit of a rough patch. And unfortunately for the Braves right now, they can't afford to have one or two starters have rough patches because they only got three guys. All right? I mean, they only have three starters out there right now, and everything else is kind of just mix and match and, you know, find a way to get through a game or five innings or bullpen game it or whatever. All right? I mean, it's kind of filling in some, you know, plugging holes in the dike, right? You know, the dike's got all kinds of breaks and cracks and leaks and stuff in it, and they're trying to find a way to just patchwork the thing and just plug the dam, right? So, again, Morton is a savvy veteran. He's a guy that's been around a long time, right? You don't need him to be great, right? I mean, you don't need him to go out there and, you know, pitch 6 innings and give you 10 strikeouts and only a run and things like that. But he can't have a 6.14 ERA and give up as many homers in 22 innings as he did in the first 48 innings of the season. He can't do that part of it, right? And that's where we're getting in trouble. So that's, you know, again, do I have concerns about Morton? You know, again, he's almost a 40-year-old pitcher, right? He's, what, 38, 39 years old? You know, guys don't last into their, you know, 40s. I mean, again, Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens, exceptions to the rule. At some point, you start to get fatigued, you start to wear down, you start to break down, things like that. And I'm not saying Morton is at that point yet, but they can't afford with Wright and Anderson and Fried and Michael Soroka not, you know, being effective enough, can't afford for the three guys that they do rely on to just be kind of blech, you know, kind of meh, average, this, that, and the other. So this game has been crazy, as we said. 9-6 right now. 15 runs, and they're only through five. Well, they're not even through five innings. It's only the bottom of the fifth right now. So barely past the halfway point. Barely past the halfway point, and there's been 15 runs. There's been four pitchers that have been used. Strider only made it through four innings. Not a good start for him. And yet the Braves are still in this thing. Speaks to how good the Braves lineup really is. And again, the guy at the bottom of the order getting it done, right? Ozuna's got a home run. He's 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Arcia is 2-for-3 tonight with an RBI. Michael Harris is 0-for-1 tonight, but he drew a walk. And, you know, some good things. Braves are 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position tonight. Ozuna and Riley. Riley had the home run in the first inning off Justin Verlander. The Braves got off to a nice start, 3-0, right? Braves are off to a 3-0 start, and then the Mets have just poured it on. They scored 5 in the second, 1 in the third, 2 in the fourth, 1 in the fifth. They scored 4 straight innings after not getting anything in the first inning, but they've scored 4 straight innings. Darno's 2-for-2 with a couple of runs. Riley's 2-for-3, a couple of RBI. Ronnie's 1-for-2 with a run and an RBI. So, you know, doing some good things offensively. And, you know, Harris is back on. I mean, Harris is on base now. Let's see if he steals. Looks like he just got a, what did he get, a double off the wall? Or all right, so he just drilled a ball off the wall. So he's standing at second base right now. So, again, another runner in scoring position for, you know, Ronnie Olson and Riley with a runner in scoring position. So let's see if they can capitalize and keep this thing close, right? I mean, they've given up 9 runs, but they're, you know, only 3 runs out of tying this game. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with the Braves. But this has been a wild, wild game. You know, the two, again, the Hall of Fame pitcher and the best young pitcher in baseball, and they combined only for 7 innings in this game tonight. And gave up a total of 12 earned runs and 6 walks. Can't do that. Can't do that against major league teams and think you're going to get away with all of it. So we'll see what happens with the Braves. So hopefully we can, by the time that this game is over, hopefully we'll be singing Day-Day, our Mutz song.
The theme.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be having something to celebrate yet. And then look, Braves get the Washington Nationals at home. That should be a, you know, that should be a fairly easy series. I'll call it. I'll say it. Should be a fairly easy series for the Braves. At home against the Nationals, who are a last place team. Then they go to Detroit. When's the last time that the Braves, anybody know the last time the Braves were in Detroit? Now, again, it's not Tiger Stadium anymore, but have they ever gone to Comerica Park? I'm not sure that they have. I mean, maybe I'm just not remembering. I'm sure they probably
have. I was going to say, I think they would have had to.
I'm sure now that they've had 30 years of right. 30 years of interleague ball, I'm sure they've been to Comerica Park, but I couldn't even begin to tell you the last time they were in Comerica. But again, that's not a very good baseball team. You know, they're not in last place, but they're in second to last, and they're like 5 or 6 games below 500. So they're not a very good baseball team, not a very talented baseball team. So that should be a series that the Braves come out on top. Again, a lot of series that the Braves should be able to handle here in the month of July, or month of June, I should say. So we'll keep you up to date, though, about what's going on here tonight. All right, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. Hey, check your coins. I'm going to give you some information about that. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, John Chuckery Show. 922 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0. Oh, sorry. 404-726-0929. I get so used to that the text line. 404-726-0929. That is not just our phone line, but it is our new text line. So it's all synced up now. 404-726-0929. Day-Day, you remember in 1999 when they started minting the state-themed coins, the quarters?
Yeah, I actually have the little... Remember, they had the little
thing. Oh, yeah,
the
booklet.
The booklet.
Yeah,
the booklet. To put them in, where you can put them in. I actually have that.
Okay. Is it filled?
No, I kind of got lazy and like I was still collecting them, but then I wasn't putting them in the booklet. I was just tossing them to the side, like in a corner somewhere. So those, I have the coins. I believe I have all of them, but I just never filled up the booklet.
Well, if you look at some of the ones that have the state of Georgia on them, okay, might want to look and see.
Okay.
Because In 1999, the U.S. Treasury in the quarters with the themes from each state. Many people started collecting them. And a story from Yahoo Finance says several of the Georgia-themed quarters were minted with several types of errors to them. And it says that those errors could mean that you have a quarter worth as much as $10,000.
Oh, that would be nice.
So, one of the errors has to do with a new alloy that the Treasury was testing out at the time. They say it has a gold tint to it and was eventually used in the Sacagawea $1 coins, right? Mm-hmm. I have some of those. I have a very Mickey Mouse kind of coin collection, right? I got a few things. So they used an alloy that was being used in the Sacagawea coins. Well, mm-hmm. they from this from the U.S. Coins Guide in a blog, curious how the alloy would look on quarters, a bunch of the Georgia State ones were minted using it. The Treasury decided not to go with the alloy on the quarters, but the ones minted with it were still released and are now very much desired by collectors. So according to Yahoo, they said there are several ways that you can tell if you have one of the experimental 1999 Georgia quarters, okay? Okay. So the typical quarter weighs 5.67 grams, mm-hmm. okay? These ones weigh anywhere between 5.9 and 6.3 grams on a coin scale. They appear thicker than normal. It has a golden or greenish color similar to the Sacagawea dollar coins. Mm. And those have kind of, I have some of those that, some of them were really bright, but then they've kind of faded to like a darker tint.
Right.
Lacks the copper or orange-colored stripe on the edge of the coin. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the edge of the coin, it doesn't have that orange stripe to it.
Okay.
Lacks some of the edges, or lacks some of the ridges on the edges of the coin. So if you look at a quarter, it's kind of got like a ridged look around the outside of the coin.
Right.
It may not have that. Has a thicker rim than normal. A coin's rim refers to the raised edge encirculating the circumference of the obverse and reverse of a coin. So again, the edge may be a little bit thicker than what looks like is through the middle of the coin. So it says, if you think you have one of these rare quarters, Yahoo Finance says the last thing you should do is spend it. You may, however, want to sell it. Yahoo says the easiest way to get your money's worth for the quarters is to list it on eBay. So I'm going to go through my Georgia State quarters. I'm going to desperately go through all of my Georgia State quarters and see what happens to it. All right. You ever had Modelo?
The beer?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I have or not. I don't think I have, honestly.
Well, I like Modelo. It's a pretty good beer. Well, Modelo Especial mm-hmm. is now the number one beer in America.
Oh, wow.
Its U.S. distributors have said after U.S. sales data showed it outsold longtime leading industry leader Bud Light over the last few weeks. Remember the controversy about Bud Light and the transgender person who was on the and the woman behind all of that?
Yeah.
Modelo Especial sales topped $333 million in the 4 weeks ending May 28th, a 15.6% rise on the same period last year, compared with Bud Light's $297 million, a 22.8% fall.
Hmm.
According to the Circana IRI data figures obtained by Newsweek via Constellation Brands, the Mexican beer's U.S. distributor. Separate Nielsen data obtained by Newsweek consultancy firms Bumps Williams Consulting showed Modelo Especial sales were $349 million in the week ending May 27, compared to Bud Light at $298.6 million.
Wow.
Bill Newlands, the chief executive officer of Constellation, said the four-week jump had happened quicker than we had anticipated. Quote, we thought that would take a little longer. We've been very fortunate that that's gone a little quicker than we had anticipated, but what a great position to be in on the beer side of things. Anheuser-Busch was approached for comment, I should say, and they never responded. Now, they still say that over the course of a year that this will even itself out and Bud Light will still be the number one beer right. in America. But for this short-term trend, it's now all of a sudden finding itself at number two.
Right.
It's
a beer protest.
Right, right. Data shows Bud Light sales represented 9.1% of the total market in 2023 as compared to Modelo Especial's 8%, representing a gap of several hundred million dollars in difference between those two. So, but anyway, it is interesting that, again, protesting works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen Bud Light knocked off of its perch.
Yep.
All right. Happy birthday today to Kanye.
Kanye-easy.
Yeah, Kanye-weezy. He's a sleazy wheezy. All right. So tonight's top 10 list, okay?
Okay.
Top 10 musical acts that you would have paid or would pay to see. Could be all time. Could be current. Could be all time.
So they could be dead then?
Yep, they could be dead.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Because that can change things up for me.
Okay.
I was a little lost in the sauce there because most of my people are dead.
Okay. So that's
well, not
fine.
Most,
that's,
but.
That's fine. So the top musical acts. Now, they can't be people that you've seen.
Right. Haven't seen. Right.
So these are acts that you haven't seen
right.
that you would have paid money to see either current or in the past. The floor is yours.
All right, here we go. So Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Prince. Never got a chance to see neither one of them.
So I've seen Prince. Seen Prince in concert, so he's not on my list.
Okay. Mint Condition.
I
love Mint Condition's music, and would love. I
want to
see. Yeah, I want to see them before they stop performing and all that kind of stuff. Sting/Police. I don't know. Do they perform anymore either?
They did tour together. I've seen Sting before in concert.
Okay. I would rather see him with Police versus. I mean, by himself, I wouldn't be mad, but I wouldn't. I would much rather him.
He puts on a good concert. Now he did tour a few years ago with the Police, with Andrew Copeland and whoever the other guy was. But I mean, they did get back together and do a tour of the Police.
Okay, all right. Rihanna.
Okay.
Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
This next one, I've seen them in their pieces, but I've never seen them together. New Edition.
Okay, so they're on my list as well.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen. Now, they toured here recently.
Yes.
And was it all of them?
Yes, all six.
Okay.
And so I've never seen that. I've seen Bobby. I've seen BVD. I've seen Johnny. And I've seen Ralph.
Yep. I've seen Ralph Tresvant.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Belle Biv DeVoe.
Right.
But I've never, and I haven't seen Bobby, and I haven't seen Johnny Gill.
Right.
But I've never seen them all together.
Yeah, same
so
here.
So I would have loved to have seen all of them together.
Yeah.
You know what? On my drive home tonight, I'm going to play If It Isn't Love. Because I love that song.
Yeah. That album was.
Listen. That's my high school year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play that on my way home.
Yeah, that album
now,
is fantastic.
Now I'm motivated.
Yeah. Usher, but one particular, I want to see him perform a particular album, his Confessions album. I love that album.
Okay.
I would love to see him perform that album live. And then three newbie, well, not new, but, well, one of them is kind of new, but this kid named Lucky Day, he's out of New Orleans, Anderson .Paak, and then Bruno Mars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bruno Mars would be a good one.
Yeah.
So I'm all over the board, and I've got I couldn't narrow it down to 10. So I've got Garth Brooks on my list. I've heard he puts on a great show.
Okay.
Terry can speak to that anyway. Terry Fox can speak to that. So you don't know that story, do you?
No.
Yeah, we won't tell it on air. Garth Brooks would be on my list. New Edition would definitely be on my list. The Bee Gees would be on my list.
Oh, wait, that'd be nice, yeah.
I should have gone to this concert a few years ago. I would love to see Dua Lipa in concert.
Okay.
Should have gone a few years ago when she was here in town. Wings.
Okay.
You know who Wings are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney band. The Beatles, obviously. Okay. I would have loved to have seen the Beatles in concert. Madonna.
Yeah.
I would still like to have seen Madonna.
I almost put her down on my list.
The only thing now is...
I just don't know how she would sound.
Yeah, I think she's too goofed up.
Yeah.
You know, like... And, she didn't really tour all that much.
No.
But I would have loved to have seen her at her prime concert. Teddy P.
Yeah.
Because there would have been some definite action there. I did not see the Hell Freezes Over tour. Now looking back, I would have liked to have gone to see the Eagles.
Right.
Once they were all together. Like when they were still alive and all together, would have liked to have seen them. MJ I got as well.
Okay.
Chic.
Oh, okay.
And obviously, what? Is it one or two of the guys from Chic are dead? Bernard Edwards is dead.
Right.
Nile Rodgers is still alive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Tony Thompson is still alive
or not. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Elton John, I should have gone to that concert about a year ago.
That was the one he just, that was like his last one, right?
I got a story about all of that, but anyway. Luther.
Yeah,
I would have loved to have seen Luther. Anita Baker, I should have gone to that concert here recently or whatever like that. And then the last one, and I had a chance to see this guy before he died, about 6 months before he died, I had a chance when I was at Akron U to see this guy in concert, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, wow.
I had a chance to see him, and I didn't. And I was like, I'll see him the next time. And then he's dead.
Oh, wow.
And I killed him. Yeah, I'm the blame for all of that. So anyway, when we come back, Steve Wyche joined us earlier in the show, Falcons beat reporter previously, and, of course, now NFL Network. Was it chief investigative reporter or whatever he is nowadays? Steve Wyche going to join us up next. Chuck Renekia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our new Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So we've now got it synced up with our phone line. So 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well as our new phone line. Well, Falcons get ready for mandatory minicamp coming up here in a little bit less than a week from right now. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to the former beat writer of the Atlanta Falcons and now the chief national reporter for NFL Network, Steve Wyche, is joining us. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Wyche89. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes. Thanks for the time tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, listen, you were dead on in your analysis of talking about Tyler Allgeier, and you nailed it before the season was even underway, talking about the role he would have and the impact that he would have. So, since you're the prognosticator now, is there the obvious, I know, is Bijan. So take him out of the mix, but is there a rookie or a second-year guy that you've got your eyes on that – you think is ready for that breakout season or is going to have an impact for this football team this year?
Well, I mean, I could take the low-hanging fruit and say Desmond Ridder because the pressure's on him. And they're putting it on his shoulders. But, I mean, I think another player you got to look at is Arnold Ebiketie. I thought he showed some really nice flashes last year as the edge rusher. They've got him a lot of help on the interior, right? Going out and getting David Onyemata, getting Calais Campbell to go with Grady Jarrett. I think he's a type of guy with Ryan Nielsen now as a defensive coordinator who could really take a big step, right? Think of the defensive fronts that they had in New Orleans where Ryan Nielsen came from, with Marcus Davenport, with Trey Hendrickson. And those defensive ends did a lot of work in the run and pass games. They were supported by great interiors like they've built there. So I'd look for AK-47 to step up.
You know, Steve, I completely agree. And I've talked a lot about Ebiketie on my show. So let me ask you two questions. And I know hindsight money always, but should he have had a chance to start more last year? And the second part of the question is, do you think that he can consistently be an 8 or 10 sack guy in this league?
Well, to say he should have started more is hard to tell. I mean, look, coming in as a rookie edge rusher, that's a hard thing to do, to come in and just really make an impact. That's why you don't, regardless of how high they're drafted, young guys come in and dominate. Like the Boses were like the exception to the rule. It's a hard thing to do, especially when you're asked, you know, within the system that they play, where you've got to be really, really good against the run and be, you know, give somewhat of a rush presence. So I think they probably brought him along at the right points, and they had some veterans there. But now he's got a chance to step up. And, yeah, I think he does have an opportunity to be an 8 to 10 to 11 sack guy. I mean, he better be tested too much into, you know, to that, you know, that stud edge rusher who can necessarily win. But they've got some pieces in place. They're going to occupy the offensive line. It's going to occupy, you know, pass protection coverages, which could be one-on-one battle. So he's going to have an opportunity.
Steve, I've said that the low-key best move that the Falcons made this year is bringing Jerry Gray in to help assistant coach. He'll work with Ryan Nielsen, but he's also going to coach up that secondary. Talk to me a little bit about Jerry Gray and the impact he can make on this football team.
Stud. I mean, a great man, right? I remember years ago when I covered the Falcons, they had Emmett Thomas, the Hall of Famer, coaching up the secondary when they had D'Angelo Hall and, you know, some really good players in that secondary. And that's the type of impact Jerry Gray can have, right? He's not the most outspoken dude, but he's seen everything. So here's a prime example of Jerry Gray. So I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, when he was with the Packers. They had a COVID outbreak. DC can't come in the game. They're playing Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. Cardinals are kind of hot. Jerry Gray calls the defense and just stones them, just shuts them down. Right. That's right. When the Cardinals were rolling, I think they won 5 or 6 or 7 right out of the gate. And he just knows what he's doing. He sees, like, Ryan Nielsen. I spoke to Dennis Allen, the Saints coach, about him. Right. He said very few defensive line coaches can see the world behind them. Right. They only see the world along the line and in front of them. Jerry Gray sees the secondary in front of him and behind him. He's got a more global take on defense. So those guys in secondary will know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it, and really work in conjunction with the guys on the other two levels. So I think you're going to see a lot more of an understanding of what they're doing with defensively, especially with so many of those young players that they've had back there, and also having an anchor and a free safety in Jesse Bates, who's just a hell of a player.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, former Falcons beat writer Steve Wyche, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So in looking at Desmond Ridder, do you realistically think, though, that he has to be a really good quarterback to make this team a playoff team? Or, and I don't like this term, and I don't know how else to phrase it, but can he be a game manager type of player with all of the offensive weapons that he has around him? And then obviously, if we think that this defense can be much improved, does he have to be great for this team to be a playoff team, or can he be that sort of game manager? I don't like that term, but I don't know how else to phrase it.
Well, I mean, look, he doesn't have to be great. When he said, does he have to be really good, or does he have to be a game manager? I think they're one and the same, right? And when I say that is, he's got to be a guy who doesn't turn the ball over. And, you know, I don't care about the touchdown-to-interception ratio, because his situation could be like the Detroit Lions, where you could throw the ball over the field, you get close to the goal line, that's where you use your run game. Mm-hmm. And that's where they better use it, right? So the touchdown-interception ratio doesn't have to be extravagant, right? It doesn't have to be one of those 33-7, but it could be 21-9, right? Mm-hmm. Don't turn the ball over. Give your team an opportunity to put points on the board, even if they're field goals. Defensively, you know, it's all about defense and takeaways, right? You can give up yards. All this total defense numbers is all, you know, kind of trickery. Scoring defense and takeaways. If this defense can get more takeaways to give the offense opportunities and to deny scoring chances for the opponent, that's the big thing. So I think Desmond Ridder, I think he's got to be good. I mean, you're not going to get to the playoffs and win playoff games if you're ordinary, right? You've got to be good. But as good Jimmy Garoppolo, right, is pretty good to really good Derek Carr. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why, with the way this team is built, he can't be that caliber of quarterback. So, you know, I think they feel they have that trust in him. They've got to be patient with him to a degree. But, you know, and I'll tell you this, Taylor Heinicke will put pressure on him. Desmond's going to be the guy, and I'm not saying Taylor Heinicke's going to start. But that dude's got enough swagger to make him feel like, okay, I've got to be better at all times because this guy's here.
And you know, Steve, the thing I've talked about is that I don't need Desmond Ridder to be great, but in the red zone, I think that's where this team has to get much better. They were, I think, 24th in Arthur's first year, 14th in touchdown efficiency last year. If they can be a great red zone offense with all the weapons that they have, they can run it, they can throw it, they can get Pitts and London and Jonnu Smith. And I mean, they got so many guys that they can use down the red zone. That's where I think that Desmond Ridder and his ability to not turn the football over is going to shine for this team.
No, that's what it has to be. I mean, look at Josh Allen with the Bills last year. As great as he was in the red zone, he was a turnover. You know, he turned the ball over, and that hurt him. You know, he doesn't have to be a hero, and that's what being efficient in the red zone is. Don't be a hero. Get the ball to where it needs to be on time, and let everything else fall in place. You know, and that's what Desmond Ridder has to be. And he's shown that. He showed it at Cincinnati. He showed it, I think, at points last year. And the thing I like about Ridder is he's not afraid to drive the ball down the field. Something's there, he's going to drive the ball down the field. I don't think he's necessarily a gunslinger, but I also don't think he's got a guy who's risk, you know, who's risk averse either. I think he's going to try to make plays, but he's going to make sure not to force it. Make it when it's there.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, look, you know as well as I do, and you've covered this team millions of times, I mean, the pass rush has always been that big bugaboo. And we talked about Ebikadi and can he be that breakout player. But do you think that with the things that they have done to this defense to improve this defense, do you think they can get to that 38, 40 sack number that feels like that's that magical number when you talk about, you know, premier defenses and getting to the next level? Can they be that 38, 40 sack type of team?
So, you know, when you look at the teams that do that, and it sounds a little cliche, but they're good on first and second down and get those teams in third and six plus.
Right, right.
Like that's what has to happen, because then other teams have to pass. Right, you have to get a lead and force other teams to throw the ball more so than they're going to run the ball. That's, you know, that's what it all comes down to. We could sit here and project numbers because they have this type of personnel, whatever, but it all comes down to what they do on first and second down. You know, again, it's simple football, but you've got to make the opponent pass to give you opportunities to get to the quarterback. So, look, based on the personnel and based on what they're trying to do and based on their increase of speed, especially at that second level with their inside guys, you know, I think Caden Ellis is going to be a nice little tool for them. They have the opportunity. You might not have the 12, 13 sack, the Nick Bosa guy who's going to, you know, the Max Crosby guy, but they're going to have opportunities to do that if those guys up front on the first two levels deny teams from getting into, you know, second and five, you know, third and five. They've got to be, you know, those second and six plus, third and six plus to make teams throw.
Steve, I know that Calais Campbell is obviously here because, one, is he picked the Atlanta Falcons, but he is going to play, and he's going to play a good bit, and he may get to 60% of the snaps again like he did last year when he was playing. But how important is he, do you think, behind the scenes, you know, off the field? I mean, you know, how big of a role can he play in that, you know, not just what he does on the field, but also the behind-the-scenes stuff?
You know, it really depends, and I know Calais well. You know, he'll feel his way out because, you know, the Falcons for 2 years, say what you want about it, they have built a certain, and I hate the word culture, but they've built a certain something, right, an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And Calais is wise enough to know, okay, I'm an import. I'm not going to come in here and try and say, I've got to teach this young fella this. I've got to, you know, exert my Walter Payton Man of the Year-ness on everybody. So I think he'll start out by doing it with his play, and he'll help the young guys out, right? He'll do what needs to be done. But, you know, I've seen guys who feel like they, you know, they're new to the team and they've got to come in and, hey, I'm this guy in the locker room, and hey, do it this way and do it that way. I don't think he's that guy, because a lot of times that can go awry, especially if a guy isn't producing at a ridiculous level. Sometimes it works. But I just, knowing Calais, I think he'll feel his way out. He is just an absolutely astute pro. And he'll exert his presence when needed, but he's not going to be one of these omnipresent overlords who's going to insist that you do it his way because it's the best way.
Last question for you, Steve. Matthew Bergeron's going to get every opportunity to win that starting left guard job. And I mean, I'd say it this way, but I mean, the last guy that we had that converted from tackle to, you know, interior left guard did not perform very well. What do you think about Bergeron? Can he make that adjustment? And, you know, do you think that he can be successful there?
We'll see. I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, what's going to be asked of him, right? What, you know, is he going to be tough enough? I'll tell you this, when he gets in training camp, he's got to bang against Calais Campbell and bang against David Onyemata and bang against Grady Jarrett. You're going to find out.
Yep.
You're going to find out exactly what he's about. All signs look okay, but can't judge him right now other than on his college tape and what he looked like in shorts and a jersey. So, again, we'll see.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our new Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. So we've now got it synced up with our phone line. So 404-726-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well as our new phone line. Well, Falcons get ready for mandatory minicamp coming up here in a little bit less than a week. from right now. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to the former beat writer of the Atlanta Falcons and now the chief national reporter for NFL Network, Steve Wyche, is joining us. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Wyche89. Steve, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes. Thanks for the time tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, listen, you were dead on in your analysis of talking about Tyler Allgeier, and you nailed it before the season was even underway, talking about the role he would have and the impact that he would have. So, since you're the prognosticator now, is is there the obvious, I know, is Bijan. So take him out of the mix. But is there a rookie or a second-year guy that you've got your eyes on that you think is ready for that breakout season or is going to have an impact for this football team this year?
Well, I mean, I could take the low-hanging fruit and say Desmond Ridder. Because the pressure's on him, and they're putting it on his shoulders. But I mean, I think another player you got to look at is Arnold Ebiketie. I thought he showed some really nice flashes last year as the edge rusher. They've got him a lot of help on the interior, right? Going out and getting David Onyemata, getting Calais Campbell to go with Grady Jarrett. I think he's a type of guy. With Ryan Nielsen now as a defensive coordinator who could really take a big step, right? Think of the defensive fronts that they had in New Orleans where Ryan Nielsen came from, with Marcus Davenport, with Trey Hendrickson. And those defensive ends did a lot of work in the run and pass games. They were supported by great interiors like they've built there. So I'd look for AK-47 to step up.
You know, Steve, I completely agree. And I've talked a lot about Ebiketie on my show. So let me ask you two questions. And I know hindsight money always, but should he have had a chance to start more last year? And the second part of the question is, do you think that he can consistently be an 8 or 10 sack guy in this league?
Well, to say he should have started more is hard to tell. I mean, look, coming in as a rookie edge rusher, that's a hard thing to do, to come in and just really make an impact. That's why you don't. Regardless of how high they're drafted, young guys come in and dominate. Like the Boses were like the exception to the rule. It's a hard thing to do, especially when you're asked, you know, in the system that they play where you've got to be really, really good against the run and be, you know, give somewhat of a rush presence. So I think they probably brought him along at the right point, and they had some veterans there. But now he's got a chance to step up. And, yeah, I think he does have an opportunity to be an 8 to 10 to 11 sack guy. I mean, he better be tested too much into, you know, to that, you know, that stud edge rusher who can necessarily win, but they've got some pieces in place. They're going to occupy the offensive line. It's going to occupy, you know, pass protection coverages, which could free one-on-one battle. So he's going to have an opportunity.
Steve, I've said that the low key best move that the Falcons made this year is bringing Jerry Gray in to help assistant coach. He'll work with Ryan Nielsen, but he's also going to coach up that secondary. Talk to me a little bit about Jerry Gray and the impact he can make on this football team.
Stud. I mean, a great man, right? I remember years ago when I covered the Falcons, they had Emmett Thomas, the Hall of Famer, coaching up the secondary when they had D'Angelo Hall and, you know, some really good players in that secondary. And that's the type of impact Jerry Gray can have, right? He's not the most outspoken dude, but he's seen everything. So, here's a prime example of Jerry Gray. So I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago when he was with the Packers. They had a COVID outbreak. DC can't come in the game. They're playing Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. Cardinals are kind of hot. Jerry Gray calls the defense and just stones them, just shuts them down. Right. That's right when the Cardinals were rolling. I think they won 5 or 6 or 7 right out of the gate. And he just knows what he's doing. He sees. Like Ryan Nielsen, I spoke to Dennis Allen, the Saints coach, about him, right? He said very few defensive line coaches can see the world behind them, right? They only see the world along the line and in front of them. Jerry Gray sees the secondary in front of him and behind him. He's got a more global take on defense. And so those guys in secondary will know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it and really work in conjunction with the guys on the other two levels. So I think you're going to see a lot more of an understanding of what they're doing with defensively, especially with so many of those young players that they've had back there, and also having an anchor and a free safety in Jesse Bates, who's just a hell of a player.
Chief national reporter for NFL Network, former Falcons beat writer Steve Wyche, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So in looking at Desmond Ridder, Do you realistically think, though, that he has to be a really good quarterback to make this team a playoff team? Or, and I don't like this term, and I don't know how else to phrase it, but can he be a game manager type of player with all of the offensive weapons that he has around him? And then obviously, if we think that this defense can be much improved, does he have to be great for this team to be a playoff team? Or can he be that sort of game manager? I don't like that term, but I don't know how else to phrase it.
Well, I mean, look, he doesn't have to be great. When he said, does he have to be really good, or does he have to be a game manager? I think they're one and the same, right? And when I say that is, he's got to be a guy who doesn't turn the ball over. And, you know, I don't care about the touchdown to interception ratio, because his situation could be like the Detroit Lions, where you could throw the ball over the field and you get close to the goal line. That's where you use your run game. And mm-hmm. that's where they better use it, right? So the touchdown interception ratio doesn't have to be extravagant, right? It doesn't have to be where it was 33-7, but it could be 21-9, right? Mm-hmm. Don't turn the ball over. Give your team an opportunity to put points on the board, even if they're field goals. Defensively, you know, it's all about defense and takeaways, right? You can give up yards. All this total defense numbers is all, you know, kind of trickery. Scoring defense and takeaways. If this defense can get more takeaways to give the offense opportunities and to deny scoring chances for the opponent, that's the big thing. So I think Desmond Ridder, I think he's got to be good. I mean, you're not going to get to the playoffs and win playoff games if you're ordinary, right? You've got to be good. But as good Jimmy Garoppolo, right, is pretty good to really good Derek Carr. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why, with the way this team is built, he can't be that caliber of quarterback. So, you know, I think they feel they have that trust in him. They've got to be patient with him to a degree. But, you know, and I'll tell you this, Taylor Heinicke will put pressure on him. Desmond's going to be the guy, and I'm not saying Taylor Heinicke's going to start. But that dude's got enough swagger to make him feel like, okay, I've got to be better at all times because this guy's here.
And you know, Steve, the thing I've talked about is that I don't need Desmond Ridder to be great, but in the red zone, I think that's where this team has to get much better. They were, I think, 24th in Arthur's first year, 14th in touchdown efficiency last year. If they can be a great red zone offense – with all the weapons that they have, they can run it, they can throw it, they can get Pitts and London and Jonnu Smith. And I mean, they got so many guys that they can use down the red zone. That's where I think that Desmond Ridder and his ability to not turn the football over is going to shine for this team.
No, that's what it has to be. I mean, look at Josh Allen with the Bills last year. As great as he was in the red zone, he was a turnover. You know, he turned the ball over, and that hurt him. You know, he doesn't have to be a hero. And that's what being efficient in the red zone is. Don't be a hero. Get the ball to where it needs to be on time, and let everything else fall in place. You know, and that's what Desmond Ridder has to be. And he's shown that. He showed it at Cincinnati. He showed it, I think, at points last year. And the thing I like about Ridder is he's not afraid to drive the ball down the field. Something's there, he's going to drive the ball down the field. I don't think he's necessarily a gunslinger, but I also don't think he's got a guy who's risk, you know, who's risk averse either. I think he's going to try to make plays, but he's going to make sure not to force it. Make it when it's there.
Chief National Reporter for NFL Network, Steve Weiss, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, look, you know as well as I do, and you've covered this team millions of times, I mean, the pass rush has always been that big bugaboo. And we talked about Ebba Cady and can he be that breakout player. But do you think that with the things that they have done to this defense to improve this defense, do you think they can get to that 38, 40 sack number that feels like that's that magical number when you talk about, you know, premier defenses and getting to the next level? Can they be that 38, 40 sack type of team?
So, you know, when you look at the teams that do that, and it sounds a little cliche, but they're good on first and second down and get those teams in third and six plus.
Right, right.
Like that's what has to happen, because then other teams have to pass. Right, you have to get a lead and force other teams to throw the ball more so then they're going to run the ball. That's, you know, that's what it all comes down to. We could sit here and project numbers because they have this type of personnel or whatever, but it all comes down to what they do on first and second down. You know, again, it's simple football, but you've got to make the opponent pass to give you opportunities to get to the quarterback. So, look, based on the personnel and based on what they're trying to do and based on their increase of speed, especially at that second level with their inside guys, You know, I think Caden Ellis is going to be a nice little tool for them. They have the opportunity. You might not have the 12, 13 sack, the Nick Bosa guy who's going to, you know, the Max Crosby guy, but they're going to have opportunities to do that if those guys up front in the on the first two levels deny teams from getting into, you know, second and five, you know, third and five. They've got to be, you know, those second and six plus, third and six plus to make teams throw.
Steve, I know that Calais Campbell is obviously here because, one, is he picked the Atlanta Falcons, but he is going to play, and he's going to play a good bit, and he may get the 60% of the snaps again like he did last year when he was playing. But how important is he, do you think, behind the scenes, you know, off the field? I mean, you know, how big of a role can he play in that, you know, not just what he does on the field, but also the behind-the-scenes stuff?
You know, it really depends, and I know Calais well. You know, he'll feel his way out because, you know, the Falcons for 2 years, say what you want about it, they have built a certain, and I hate the word culture, but they've built a certain something, right, an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And Calais is wise enough to know, okay, I'm an import. I'm not going to come in here and try and say, I've got to teach this young fella this. I've got to, you know, exert my Walter Payton Man of the Year-ness on everybody. So I think he'll start out by doing it with his play, and he'll help the young guys out, right? He'll do what needs to be done. But, you know, I've seen guys who feel like they, you know, they're new to the team and they've got to come in and, hey, I'm this guy in the locker room and, hey, do it this way and do it that way. I don't think he's that guy, because a lot of times that can go awry, especially if a guy isn't producing at a ridiculous level. Sometimes it works, but I just, knowing Calais, I think he'll feel his way out. He is just an absolutely astute pro. And he'll exert his presence when needed, but he's not going to be one of these omnipresent overlords who's going to insist that you do it his way because it's the best way.
Last question for you, Steve. Matthew Bergeron's going to get every opportunity to win that starting left guard job. And, I mean, I'd say it this way, but, I mean, the last guy that we had that converted from tackle to, you know, interior left guard did not perform very well. What do you think about Bergeron? Can he make that adjustment? And, you know, do you think that he can be successful there?
We'll see. I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, what's going to be asked of him, right? What, you know, is he going to be tough enough? I'll tell you this, when he gets in training camp, he's got to bang against Calais Campbell and bang against David Onyemata and bang against Grady Jarrett. You're going to find out.
Yep.
You're going to find out exactly what he's about. All signs look okay, but can't judge him right now, other than on his college tape and what he looked like in shorts and a jersey. So, again, we'll see. We'll see what's asked of him. But if all indications, you know, for what they think, you know, what they think of him, you know, then he should be a pretty good player. He was drafted highly, and so they think he's probably tough enough to do what's happening in the dirty work. But the one thing about the NFL these days is a lot more smoke is coming up the interior from the defensive fronts than in the past. So he's going to get tested very quickly in training camp. You know, hopefully over the first few weeks, he'll grow to expect, you know, and understand what's going to be expected of him.
Steve Wyche is on Twitter at Wyche89. He's the chief national reporter for NFL Network and joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Steve, buddy, as always, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta, as always, and we will certainly talk again to you soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
You.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.